Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Morning, church. Can you believe that's the final weekend of June already? And we are already at the end of the first half of 2022. As a church, we have just completed the sermon series on the book of Acts, where we see the story of an unstoppable kingdom, of the mighty works of the Holy Spirit working through the disciples and the early church, and how the world was being turned upside down through them. And for us in PJSC, as Disciple Making Month, or DMM, 2022 comes up in the next week and month in July, as a church, we gear up to celebrate our church anniversary and also to remember that we are called here in PJEFC to grow in discipleship. And as we think about discipleship, can you still remember the theme for 2022? Anyone? We're half a year. We've repeated this a few times. Okay, if you can't, I'm going to remind you this morning. Okay, so PJEFC's theme for 2022, when we talk about discipleship, is following Christ out of our comfort zone, okay? Following Christ out of our comfort zone, each one reach one. And you're going to hear probably a lot of this in the next month as we talk about disciple-making month. That's why some of the challenges are to challenge us out of the comfort zone, okay? And this morning, as we step and prepare for this month of challenges and disciple making, I would like to start the ball rolling this week and to prepare us to think about this area of being out of our comfort zone in the area of discipleship and vulnerability. Okay, and I would like us to think about vulnerability as a part of the Christian community and in the context of PJEFC. To get us started, I want us to remind, what is discipleship? Okay, so as we talk about discipleship, I would like us all to be on the same page. Okay, discipleship is basically a lifelong process to become like Jesus in everything we are, in everything we do. So each and every person here that's in this room, in this church, online, that are listening in, and you call yourself a follower of Jesus, we are all called to be disciples of Jesus and to be engaged in this process of becoming like Jesus more and more each and every day, each and every week, each and every month, each and every year. Okay? Now, this is not a process that we can achieve individually. Okay? Most scholars, Bibles will say this. Okay? Jesus himself set the example of being in community. He chose 12 disciples and taught them about God's kingdom. He lived out that example, and he wanted them to live out to others that will also follow them and follow him. They lived together, they ate together, they served together, and they grew together, and it was the same as we heard in the book of Acts, okay? As we remember, perhaps Brother Elder Yifong's sermon on Koinonia as well. Now, in today's context, most of us attend church once a week. Normally on a Sunday morning, we may enter the church, receive a handshake or a wave from a pastor or a gum person. Then we sit down, we join the congregation in song. We are led in prayer, listen to a sermon, and then maybe receive the benediction and sing a closing song. And then we rush off, some of us may rush off after service. A number of us may stay back to have fellowship in the concourse now that we have the kopitiam open, and maybe have coffee or enjoy our curry puffs like last week. And then we maybe try to engage with one another, meet someone new, and then we go off. All of this takes about 2 to 3 hours of our time per week, and compared to the early church, is this sufficient for for our growth in becoming like Christ. This is why in PJEFC, to be further engaged and grow in discipleship, we encourage each and every one of you to participate in small groups, whether cell groups or 3-to-1 groups. I don't know if you heard of 3-to-1. 3-to-1 are small groups that are 3 people meeting 2 hours once a month. Okay, that's what the 3-to-1 is. And if you don't know more, you haven't heard about 3-to-1, I encourage you to find out more in the coming month. And these are ways that we challenge you in this church to to engage deeper in discipleship beyond the Sunday service. And as leaders of this church, we know that while Sunday services are beneficial for the corporate worship of the church in worshiping together, exalting the name of Jesus, and hearing the word of God together, it has its limits when it comes to discipleship. And we hope that by engaging in smaller groups, many of us will be better challenged to be engaged in this process, the process of becoming more like Jesus. Okay. And this morning, I know we've heard many sermons about discipleship because we talk a lot about discipleship in this church. This morning, I want to talk specifically in one area of discipleship that perhaps we don't talk a lot about. And this is the area of vulnerability. And vulnerability is defined as the quality of state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. I repeat, vulnerability is the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. Now, this topic doesn't sound very comfortable, does it? And perhaps for many of us, when we hear the word vulnerability, you may think, what is Pastor Ruth talking about? Why are we talking about this morning? And perhaps when we think of the word vulnerability, this imagery comes more to mind. How many of us think vulnerability is like this picture, where we are bare and ready to be fired or to be shot at? As I mentioned, after all, isn't vulnerability the state of being exposed to the possibility of being harmed or attacked? And of course, many of us have many reasons to not want to be vulnerable. We live in a culture of shame and honor, and we want face. I grew up listening a lot to that. You know, don't do something that will embarrass the family. And, you know, and this state may seem, being vulnerable may seem very countercultural and really against our DNA as Malaysian Chinese or even as Asians. After all, most of us would do anything to avoid shame. No? So this state of vulnerability today that I will share about may not make sense to many of us, because who wants to be hurt? Who wants to feel ashamed? Who wants to choose to be bared when one can be protected, secured, and clothed? And so this morning, I want to engage in a little exercise as we continue. If you are being vulnerable, would you say that you are being weak or being courageous? Okay, I can see all of you in this room. So I'm going to ask you to do a little exercise, right? You can sit where you are. If you think that vulnerability is being weak, you do this. Okay, cross your hands. Okay. If you think being vulnerable is being courageous, I want you to do this. Okay? All right. So I give you 5 seconds to think through your answer. Is being vulnerable being weak or being courageous? Okay, One, two, three, four, five, go. Some of you are like this, some of you are like this. Okay, some of you are kind of undecided. Okay, so if you yourself are being weak, being vulnerable, do you think it's you being weak or being courageous? Okay, next question that I have. If someone else, your friend, your cell group member, was being vulnerable and they shared their heart out to you, would you say that they are being weak or they are being courageous? Okay, so which one would you say? Are they being weak, okay, or they're being courageous? Okay, let's go. One, two, three, four, five. What's your answer? Oh, okay, so a little bit more mixed as well, but I see a little bit more courageous. Okay. Now, a few years ago, as I was coming home, as some of you may know, I've been back for about 2.5 years now. And on my journey home, as I was preparing to come back to be a pastor in PJAFC, a friend of mine shared with me a TED Talk video by this lady called Brené Brown. And she's really famous when it comes to talk. She talks about vulnerability and shame. So if you'd like to know a little bit more about vulnerability and shame, I would really also encourage you to watch her TED Talk video. And she said this: the difficult thing is that vulnerability is the first thing I look in you and the last thing I'm willing to show you. The difficult thing is that vulnerability is the first thing I look for in you and the last thing I'm willing to show you. Because in you, it's courage and daring, but in me, it's weakness. So in you, it's courage and daring, but in me, it's weakness. And her words got me thinking, how true is this? And some of you may really resonate with this, or some of you may have completely different answers, right? Maybe some of us just think that vulnerability is just, no, it's just a weakness. Or some of us think, yep, it's courageous all the way. But coming from an Asian culture, and if most of you know my personality, I really struggled with this statement. And I asked myself as I heard it, why am I struggling with this? And I resonated with this because for me, I always saw it as a weakness. Why does one need to share about themselves in public and or even share about themselves with someone else? And why is it that when other people do that, I really admire them. And I think, wow, they're really daring. And so her statement got me really thinking. And I started asking, because this lady, Brené Brown, she's a researcher. She's actually a social worker that researches into people's stories and how they survive life. And she says one thing that people who do really well in life or who live what she considers wholehearted lives have in common is that they are all willing to be vulnerable. Scary, right? And like I said, that really challenged me. And she actually is a Christian. And though I don't hear, she doesn't write Christian books. And so I also started to ask myself, does the Bible have something to say about vulnerability? And so I went through, as I prepared for this sermon, I surprisingly found a few good ones that I would like to share with you this morning about even the Bible encourages to be vulnerable. The first verse is found in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10. And this is the words of Paul. And Paul was asking God to take away his thorn. Okay, and God responded to him and said, and Paul wrote this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest in me, upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, as I mentioned, when I look at vulnerability, the word vulnerability, and we read this verse, I don't know about you, but something hits me all the more. Because Paul here shares his struggle and says, God, you know, can you just take away this thorn away from me? But instead, God says to him, you know what? I'm not taking it away. My grace is sufficient for you. And that my power is made perfect in weakness. As a result, Paul responded in a crazy way, I think. I don't know how many of us would respond to God this way. You know, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that for the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't know about you. I think I would find this really, really hard to say. God, let me boast all the more about my vulnerabilities, about my weaknesses, so that your power can be seen upon me. As many of you know, I'm involved in one of the ministries of the church that's called the Stretcher Bearer. And we just finished four sessions for those who are supporting those with mental ill health. And a few of us usually get together, Hera, myself, Priscilla, and June, usually get together to prepare for the sessions. And we sometimes just spend the time preparing as well as talking about some of our thoughts as we prepare to support those who are supporting those with mental ill health. And one of the things that Hera recently said that really struck me in our conversation as we were preparing for our crisis management talk, Hera shared with us her reflections, and which resonated with me as I prepared for this sermon. She asked, how many times do we as Christians are willing to share our testimonies after our struggles, right? But how many times are we willing to share our stories of darkness? The stories that we haven't seen victory yet. The stories that we're still struggling. In this church, in our Christian community, how much are we willing to share the stories with one another as we say we come together as a church? And that really hit me. Her question has really hit me. And I also asked myself, do I always share my stories of victory? Am I only willing to share what God has done in my life after God has only done something amazing? Am I willing to be vulnerable to share that sometimes I still feel weak? And sometimes I still have areas of struggle, even as a pastor. How many of us in our Asian context, in our culture, with our personalities, with our driven need to excel, are willing to say we are failing? And yet, the Bible, this passage, challenges to say that we are weak, because then God's perfectness, Christ's perfectness, can be seen in our weaknesses. And so this morning, I want to ask us, are there spaces for us in our lives where if we say we come to church, whether we go to cell groups or 3-to-1 groups, or even have a friend, a Christian friend, can we say that we have a space to share our stories of weaknesses, of shame, of failure, of vulnerability? And we need to be careful if we don't. Another verse, Paul, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11 to 12, Paul himself says, "We have spoken to you freely to you, Corinthians. Our hearts is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also." Paul tells the Corinthian church that his heart, as their father, as their spiritual father, as their leader, that his heart is open to them. In return, he noticed and actually addressed this. I mean, you know, sometimes in our relationship with one another, we notice something is wrong. And we notice that something is, you know, our friend or our family is not quite reacting the same way. And we know something is kind of not right. And sometimes we just choose not to say anything. And yet Paul here chooses to be vulnerable and chooses to tell the Corinthian church, "I really love you. I'm affectionate to you, towards you. What is going on? Why are you not returning this affection? Why are you restricted? Will you open your heart to me as your leader, as your spiritual father?" And so this Bible verse also reminds us of being vulnerable as a leader, as a spiritual leader, or even as someone who's mature, to be the first to be vulnerable to say, "What's wrong? I love you, and I feel something is wrong. Will you open your heart to me?" And I wonder how many of us struggle with this in this church. Since I came back to be a pastor here, I've heard many stories from many members, sometimes really good ones, but sometimes I hear stories of, "Pastor, you know, this person hurt me in the past, and this leader has hurt me in the past. And you know what? It's okay if I step back, right? It's okay if I sometimes don't show up in the church, right? It's okay if I take a break from cell group, right? Pastor, I don't feel like I belong." "And Pastor, you know, my friends have left. I no longer feel like I fit here anymore." And these people I see close themselves to being, and they're so different from before, where maybe before they were actively serving so enthusiastically, or, you know, just I could see their wholeheartedness for the Lord and for this Christian community. And now many of them say, "I'll just sit it out. You know, this VMM thing, it's okay. It's not for me. You know, I've done all this before. I've gone through it all before. It's okay. I'll just live a quiet life. And I'll just protect myself from being hurt again. And I'll just choose not to be vulnerable again." So this morning, I wonder whether this Bible verse is saying to you, open your hearts again. Last Bible verse says James 5, verse 16. And it says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." This is a practice that we don't see a lot in church anymore. How many of us confess our sins to one another? How many of us confess an area of addiction, of struggle, of something that we feel that we have no victory over? And yet, this verse challenges to be vulnerable, to share some of us may feel this is our deepest, darkest secret to someone within the Christian community, so that we can pray for one another, and so that healing can happen. And it says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." So sometimes on Sundays, we have altar calls, and we will probably have one after this. And many of us sometimes may be very reluctant to come forward for many, many reasons. I'm not judging. I'm just saying some of us may feel we have too small a prayer request and therefore we feel we don't need to come up. Or sometimes, we all think maybe we say we're fine. Why do I need to go out for prayer? Some of us may be shy. Or, everyone else is watching me go up. Or some of us may feel that, what will people think of me if I go up for prayer? Maybe they think I have a sin that Reverend Alexa needs to pay for. And, they're going to think something is wrong with me. And so we are reluctant and afraid to come up. And we are reluctant to be vulnerable. And we are reluctant to say, I need to come up. I need to go up because I'm not all right. And I've not been all right for a while now. But if I don't go up, then how am I going to get healing? Who's praying for me? Who's praying so that I can overcome? So this morning, I bring back this picture, right? We started with this picture. Vulnerability for many of us may be seen in this. And yet I hope what we read in the Bible helps us to see vulnerability as this. Rather than shame, rather than naked, or waiting to be harmed, I'm not saying we won't be, can we learn to see vulnerability as something good? Something that the Bible does affirm, and something that the Bible challenges me to do as a follower of Christ. Can I see vulnerability while I'm in a state of being potentially harmed? That is also where I can grow. Can I see it as the power of Christ working in my weaknesses as I share, as I choose to be vulnerable to others? Can I see it as a place of opening and inviting others into my life, even though it means being hurt again, so that my relationships can be rich again? Can I see it as a place of potential healing and of overcoming? Just to qualify, vulnerability is not, I hope you learned by now, a weakness. It takes a lot of strength to be vulnerable. I don't know about you, how many of you feel very comfortable in asking other people for help? Help, I need transport. Help, I need to go somewhere. Help, I'm sick. I'll tell you, I find it very hard to ask someone else for help. And yet, vulnerability is not a weakness. And I hope you understand this, that vulnerability is actually courageous. It takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable. Next, vulnerability is also not full disclosure. It's not about telling someone everything about yourself and about, all your thoughts, about all your weaknesses. Vulnerability is not that. Okay, and probably next to it is, it's also not about verbal diarrhea where you just blab everything to everyone else and make people maybe feel horrified or scared of you. Vulnerability is really, really sharing, challenging yourself in an area that you are not comfortable, one area, and bringing it up to light, okay? It's not about telling all 10 of your sins necessarily. It's perhaps working on it one thing at a time. Vulnerability is not only applicable to certain people. It's not only applicable to people with mental ill health. It's not only applicable to people with issues. Vulnerability is applicable to everyone. Vulnerability is never fun, and it's definitely not comfortable. And vulnerability is also not about just your deepest, darkest emotions and memories. It may be things that sometimes we ourselves may be just uncomfortable to share, that we think this makes us look weak. It does not always have to be the big stuff. Perhaps we may struggle to tell someone else we are sick and we need help. Perhaps we struggle to tell someone else we're not doing financially well. Perhaps we struggle to tell someone we're not doing well emotionally. Perhaps it may be the area where our family relationships are also not doing well, not just today, yesterday, but for a long time already. Perhaps we struggle to be vulnerable in sharing our addictions, our areas of shame. And for some of us, it may be just saying, look, I'm far away from God today. And that can be a really hard thing to say. You know, as I share the sermon today, oh man, I had a lot of anxiety and as I felt the Lord challenging me to share about this morning. And just a few weeks ago, I fell sick. And if you know anything about me, I hate being sick. And Reverend Alexa knows this about me. When I'm sick, I just tell her I'm going to be in bed for the next 2 or 3 days. It's okay, you don't need to come and find me. You don't need to come rescue me. I just want to curl up in my own room. I just want to, you know, I'm having maybe fever or I'm just not feeling good. It's fine. I don't need anyone to come and fuss over me. I don't need anyone to come and cook me things. I just want to sleep for the 2 or 3 days until I get well. And I will be fine. And most of the time when I'm sick, I'm like that, okay. So this time around, about a month ago, I was sick. It started with a fever on a Sunday morning. I felt so bad because I had to share with the Ascend team. Sorry, I couldn't come. I was supposed to share for their meeting. And I had fever. It wasn't very high, so I thought, okay, that's fine. But I had sore throat, and I thought, oh, maybe this is COVID. And I did my test every day, and I was cleared. And a few days later, I was getting well. So, you know, I fell sick on a Sunday, and, you know, I thought, okay, I'll rest on the Wednesday. And then on Thursday, I came back to work. I came back to work because I had, you know, some really urgent people I needed to see. I felt really bad in canceling them. So I thought, I'm feeling about 80%. I'm not completely well, but okay, fine, I'll just go to work. And then on Friday, in the morning, I thought I was fine. And then 1 minute I was fine, the next minute, I actually started feeling really, really horrible. My stomach was in pain. I started getting cold sweats all of a sudden. I had diarrhea. And in the midst of that, I really felt like passing out. And I was wondering, man, what is going on? It was the first time in a long time that when I was sick, I felt really, really, I felt afraid, actually. I was a little bit shocked because I was fine just the hour before at 9 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock, I just felt so awful. And I just thought, man, do I need to go to the hospital now? Who I need to go and call help? Man, I really don't want to ask people for help. I don't want them to make a fuss right now. And in the midst of that, I mean, I called a doctor who told me, hey, I think it's a viral infection, just go rest, take some pills, and you'll be fine. But I was really, really shocked. And it was the first time in a long time, I told a few of you that I just really didn't call my parents. And my parents were away. Some of you may know they live in Cameron Highlands, but they also sometimes live in our house in PJ. And they were really away at that time. And in that moment, that hour that I felt so awful, I just, first thing that came to my mind is, I just want my parents right now. And I want them to be home. And if you know me, I'm an oldest child. I've been very independent from my parents for a very long time. And I know when I called one of my parents and I said, look, I'm feeling really terrible, they were actually quite shocked. And they said, you never say this to us. One parent actually was quite blasé and said, I think you'll be fine. I'll call someone in the church to come and help you. And I said, no, I just want you right now. Can you just come home? Cameron Highlands is not that far away. After all your travel, like back and forth, like, you know, every day sometimes, can you all just come home? I just need emotional comfort right now. And you have you any idea how hard it is for me to say this right now to you, even right now? And a few hours later, I called the other parent. I'm not going to name names. You all will know them if you know them. The other parent started panicking and said, oh, I think she's having a heart attack. And started sending all my diagnosis to four doctors, even though I told the parent that I already asked the doctor, and the doctor said it's fine. And all, by the way, all four doctors said the same thing as this particular doctor. And this parent just said, oh, we need to go home now. to my other parent. And yeah. And it was interesting to see how they reacted. Not very helpful when you're not feeling well sometimes. And partly why sometimes I don't want to tell them. But, you know, they came back that night. And, you know, the next 2 days, I really got my comfort food. I really felt a lot better compared to my first 4 days. And interestingly, what happened was, actually for a long time, me and my parents always felt there was this barrier. Some, as an adult living with older parents, we all have our opinions, we drive each other crazy. And as we grow older, maybe we become more stuck. And we said, nope, this is what we believe in. And there are times where we feel like we hit this barrier with each other. And interestingly, this incident, when I learned to say to my parents still at the age of 40 plus, I need you, please come home, I'm not well. Interestingly, it broke something in our relationship. One of my parents shared, hey, you know, it's been 20 years since you went overseas to study, and you know, you went to a ship for many years. And it's been a long time since you said you needed this. And the next 2 days, even though I was half sick, I was feeling better. This particular parent just took the time, and we spent some time just to talk. And to say that, you know, we have not been fine. What happened there? And was it me? Was it something I said? And we finally could have this openness. I want to say that not everything is always perfect, my parents still. But that conversation, that choice to be vulnerable in that moment, to pick up that call, that phone call to my parent and said, look, I'm really not feeling good. I need you. I didn't think that it would lead to a little breakthrough in our relationship, something that I think my parents and I have been praying for. And so this morning when I share about this, I really want to challenge us to consider this. What is wrong with being vulnerable? What is wrong with being weak? Because in vulnerability, you know what? When we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, as I shared about my story with my parents, you know, we can see God at work. We allow God to work. Perhaps it is an opportunity for our relationship to become richer. Perhaps we allow healing to happen when we choose to be vulnerable. Our burdens can be shared and lightened when we are vulnerable. And it also fights the sense of shame that sometimes is fed by silence, by not saying anything, by secrecy, you know, thinking that someone else can read your mind, and by judgment. So this morning, we're going to end the service in a bit. And I want to end with this quote. I didn't manage to get it up there. But it says, vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. It is the source of hope, accountability, and authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and meaningful spiritual lives, then vulnerability is the path. There is no other way. Many of us may want more, we feel we want more meaning in our own spiritual walk with God. And this morning I want to say to you, just as God has been just teaching me again, you know, you want to learn more, you want to walk more with me, will you choose to be vulnerable? Will you choose to say, I am not well, when everything against me just wants to brush it off and just say, you know what, I'm fine. Will we choose to say and acknowledge that we do have broken relationships, we do have hurts, we do have struggles in our lives? So this morning, I just want to get the worship team to sing the song again, Here I Am. You know, to ask God to meet us where we are. And before we do that, I just want us to close our eyes and just ask ourselves, how are we doing? How are you doing today? It's fine if you're good. And it's fine if all is well in your world. But if you have a struggle this morning, if you're hurt, if you're one of those people I've mentioned in this sermon that have just been hurt by someone else, whether in this church or elsewhere, or by a fellow Christian, you know, and you're not okay, and you've been carrying this hurt for a while, will you just lift up your hands to the Lord? You know, it doesn't have to be a big gesture. Just one hand or just two hands unto the Lord. Just to show God, to God, not to me, not to a pastor, that you are willing to be vulnerable to the Lord. That you're willing to say, God, I need you to fix this in my life. God, I need you to heal me. God, I need you to touch me. First, I need to be vulnerable to say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And so, can I just ask us to just close our eyes and just to stand or just to lift our hands if this is you this morning? God, I'm not fine. God, I'm sick. God, I'm hurting. God, I don't understand why there's this barrier with someone I love. God, I'm stressed out at work. I don't know whether I can make it. Will you just at least be willing to say it to God? To say, God, I'm so ashamed that I'm not self-sufficient. But it's okay, because your word says, you are perfect in my weaknesses. You are perfect in my weaknesses. So this morning, I confess my weaknesses to you. I confess my area of sin to you. So, if this is you, just lift your hands to God.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.